Blog Talk Radio.
Geico makes car insurance easy.
Enjoy your flight.
You too.
As easy as saying the wrong thing.
Me too. Really?
What?
Dad, why would you say that?
Why would you say that?
Do I look like I'm going on vacation, sir?
It's not how airports work, man.
You could.
Dad.
Are we leaving or?
I don't even want to go on vacation anymore.
I thought I knew you.
She has hairspray that is over the limit.
With an app that puts your policy in your pocket, it's easy to Geico.
And you're not wearing socks. Get a grip, man.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Like you said you do, yeah. Tell me what I'm supposed to do, 'cause the only thing I need is to be loved by you. Oh.
Of Beverly Hill Nation. This is The Talker with Wanda Walker, on air now from Lagos. Please dial in 516-453-9133 and press 1, the number 1 on your phone, to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. And this is a very important night because we are 12 weeks away from election in Philadelphia, and elections across the United States are going on. Every 6 months you have an election, believe it or not. Most people pay attention to the big ones, like the president and the mayor. And we have an opportunity in Philadelphia now to make a very big change, a change for positive things to happen in Philadelphia, a chance to change and stomp out some of the corruption that's going on in Philadelphia. We have a chance to put a person in office for mayor that has an exceptional record of service before he got into politics, after and during the time that he's been into politics. And I'm very happy to be a part of history making. I really think that if people knew the facts, they would vote differently. I really think that if people knew what was all up for grabs or at stake, that they would choose carefully and pay more attention to the facts. So it's a lot to talk about because the problems, as I said before, what happens in Philadelphia happens all over the United States and the world, wherever there's a very large population of black and brown people and yellow people. You also have to keep in mind wherever there's poverty, there's a chance for things like political corruption to come in and take a hold, community, a city, or even a state, and just take advantage. And that's what we're seeing more often than not. But I know the team and the people that are working with David O, and how much we all really believe in change and believe in him, and we've done our research. So we are more informed voters, and we don't just go by what the commercials say and what popularity says or social media says. Most of us do our research, and we get the facts. So in doing so, I ask our team, David's team, to and DKOD, I want to shout out to DKOD, because I went to Emmanuel Bussey and I asked him for a report card so that I would really understand the different candidates. I'm hoping to get David on tonight. I know he has a very busy schedule. I've also reached out to Nadira Griffin, who's running in the 5th District for City Council. And I put a shout out to Yolanda that loves this show and likes coming on, and a few other people. But Friday night is the night that a lot of people have different things going on. But I have plenty of information to give you all. If anybody follows me on Facebook, they see the stuff that I'm posting. So they see my passion. And I want to know, listening to the callers or having the callers come in, what do they think about this mayoral election in Philadelphia or in their town? What do they need to see, or what needs to happen for them to really feel hyped about coming out to vote and make a difference? I want to know, do the listeners believe that if they started voting strategically and did the homework, just a little bit, to know the real facts, would that change their voting? And do they think they can make a difference? And if voting isn't a way to make a difference, then what is? Those are the questions I would like to ask. So right now I'm looking at a report card that we put together for the campaign. And at the top it says David O, because it was his camp that did it. But we did some key decisions affecting the communities or the city to the left. And then we put his name and Sherelle's name, and then we had which way they voted. And so the first one is bring back stop and frisk. Now, this was something originally I was for, because I felt that the gun violence was so rampant, and that how do you even compete with these ghost guns? So I had to call some black men up and ask their opinion, because I've never been stopped and frisked, but it seems like a lot of black men have. And so I went to my brother, who's a police officer, and he explained the scenario. And even though he's 27 years on the force, he's been stopped. And he felt that this stop and frisk was a no-no. If you look at the report card, David voted no for stop and frisk because he said it's against our constitutional rights. David is also an attorney. He was assistant attorney. He knows laws back and forward. That was his specialty. And he broke it down. And this is a no-no. It causes more problems than not. If I recall properly, or correctly rather, Isaiah Thomas, another council person, submitted the bill in reference to stopping and frisking, and a bunch of research was done before that bill passed, and it was shown that do not turn up the amount of weapons that everybody thinks it does, and therefore it ends up causing more problems than not. And then you have a situation where people are feeling like they're being harassed. And unfortunately, we have too many, and one is too many, apparently police officers who can take something like this and really abuse it and use it for not good things or to violate someone's right. The second one is take back control on on-street parking from PPA. Oh, by the way, Sherelle Parker is for the stop and frisk. So the second one is to take back control from the parking authorities, PPA, for on-street parking to help fund our schools. David said yes to that, and Sherelle said no to that. From my understanding, there was great effort by Sherelle to even argue the point that PPA should, their books should even be looked at again, or they should be audited and investigated. I wish that she would come on and explain some of these decisions and how she voted. Because I don't understand it, but I would like to, and being that we know that she's smart, intelligent, experienced, maybe she has a different spin on this that we don't see. But how it stands now, I don't see how anybody could vote no for PPA, giving that on-street parking contract back to Philadelphia to help fund the schools. The third one would be, is to end the school soda tax, or no, to end the soda tax that they claim is for the schools. David voted yes, and Chevrolet voted no. My suggestion is, why don't we switch it up and do a tax on coffee or something else? It doesn't have to be so one-sided and something that really affects their inner city, small mom-and-pop stores, so on and so forth. A lot of jobs were affected when they passed that. The fourth one is reform the Department of Human Services, DHS. That's where Yolanda will come in, April would come in. I hope she's going to call in. And Bridget would come in. So I hope those three ladies call in about DHS. David had his own personal experience slash nightmare with DHS. So he experienced firsthand how corrupt the DHS system can be. So he voted yes to reform them, and Sherelle Parker voted no. The next one would be reject overly high property taxes. David O. voted yes, and Sherelle Parker voted no. And this is very important to anybody that has a business, owns a property, because our properties are assessed incorrectly to the point that one day you can afford your property and your generational wealth, and the next minute you're forced to sell it. So I'm going to stop there with those four because it's about 10 more I need to read. Do that after the track by legendary DJ Brother O. Thank you very much.
Cause the heart wants what it wants, is me, you, and some chicken wings. Well, you like your curly fries, super size, sweet tea, and some lemonade. Two flowers and it's crazy, don't need reservations. Cause the heart wants what it wants, what it wants.
Not my fault. You keep it spicy like hot sauce. Always remind me why I'm yours. But you got a lot on your plate. Oh, relax, rejuvenate and just eat snacks. Your week's been long, so just ease back. Don't chew more than you can take.
Welcome to Henny Williams. I hope you're having a marvelous day. May I take your order? Actually, no, we don't have any chicken wings here.
Can I get
you something else?
Cause the heart wants what it wants, what it wants. To me, you want some chicken wings. Oh, you like your curly fries, super size, sweet tea and some lemonade. My
dear, it's crazy, don't need reservations.
Cause the heart wants what it wants, what it wants.
Some jam punch, no fancy suits and no fine art. Just tied up here with your mouth guard. All cozied up in your space. Cola six pack, ice cream, Netflix, and your gym jam. We stay low-key just like free stack. Don't care that it's getting late.
Hello, sir. How are you today? What can I have? What can I get? What can I have? What can I get? What can I have? What can I get? What can I get?
Lemonade.
Oh, you love it, it's crazy.
Ooh,
don't need reservations.
Cause
the heart wants what it wants, what it wants.
Help me sing it safe.
Thank you for that track. I now have on the line Nadira Griffin. She is the candidate running for the 5th District. Nadira, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Wanda. How are you?
I'm doing great now that I have you on the line. So nice
Wonderful.
To hear your voice.
Thank you.
So, you had a mic. Tell us about you, why you want to run. How to spell your name, because you are a write-in, and anything else you want us to know, and how have you been doing on the campaign trail? I give the mic to you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nadira Griffin. I am a write-in for Council Magic District 5. A write-in means that my name will not be on the ballot. You will have to place it there. My name is spelled, so you will have to go down to District 5, over to write-in, tap it and spell my name exactly the way I spell it, N-A-D-E-R-A-H, Griffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N, and that's F-F as in family, family. And, well, the reason why I decided to run for office is because of the disparities that we're facing in the urban communities and the continuous oppression that we're facing in our communities. So we've always been expected to do more, but we've always received less. We need justice, inclusion, and equality. We know that crime and violence is a negative impact on our communities and all communities, but we know that it's heavily linked to poverty. So we have a lack of housing, a lack or no housing, a lack or no education, a lack or no employment, which causes mental health issues. And those mental health issues, they stem into an excessive amount of crime and violence. So we know that if we employ each other's, employ individuals and make sure that they are able to obtain, maintain a decent wage to provide for them, for themselves and their families, that crime will decrease. Before you get to an employment, you have to have an education. We know that a lot of individuals that go in and out of prison, they have a lack of education. So we need to educate these individuals so that they are able to gain employment. We need to make sure, now we all know if we don't have a comfortable night's rest, and that's with anybody, you're not going to perform at your highest level. So it's important that we have a nice shelter over our heads. We have our utilities. We can't pay utility bills if we don't have jobs. And our COLA doesn't make, the COLA does not match the cost of living allowance does not match what we have to pay for our rent. So you have individuals in housing authority paying over $1,000 to live in a housing authority house. How is that if it's supposed to be for low-income individuals? And then you put individuals in these very stressful situations, like with the regentrification. That's depressing to me. I've had builders that come from out of town into my city where I was born and raised, and then here it is, you're making all this noise. There's no ordinance for it. You call the police, they can't do anything, and they're working 7 days a week. So what do I do? When I get agitated, I jump up and I go shopping just to avoid the noise. I can't get any rest, and that's the impact on my financial abilities, because if I'm spending my money because I'm trying to avoid the noise and the agitation, they're building, they're shaking your houses, they tear your grounds up, they don't fix the grounds. You have individuals coming in and redlining. A lot of people leave schools.
How about this? I hear what you're saying, and we talked about this before. Give us your three top issues or passion for your platform and why you should be city council person representing the 5th District. Also, I hear you talking about the housing, and the housing is so astronomically priced that makes people stressed. But the subsidizing housing is, you know, it is just that, subsidized, so that people who really can't make that rent then get help. But that doesn't help. And last night I had the privilege to be at the Leah Kaur Center, inside and outside, talking to people. And if I remember correctly, candidate Sherelle Parker was talking about building, and maybe you remember because you were there, right? You were there for the Leah Kaur event?
No, I was not.
Okay,
I
Beth was
not
there. So I think she's saying, is it 300,000 new homes are going to be built or 30,000? new homes are going to be built, and, of course, we have to empty the land bank, and I get that. But what I heard as a business person, a small business person, a property owner, you know, and a mother and a middle-class person is ching, 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 and I just heard my money flying out of my pocket because when they come up with these ideas in the number one poorest big city, and we've been on the list of a poor big cities for over 30 years. I also learned that a few days ago. I knew that we were number one for the last few years, but I did not know that we've been on this list for 30. And so I had to look back at 30 and see, well, who's been in charge? What's been going on? We know the Democrats have been in charge the last 70 years. And we know that people like Darrell Clark has been in position for 36 years, I think it is, or 40, and there's a couple others that have long a history like that, city council. We have Bob Brady in place for, I think, 36 or 37 years. He's in charge of the DNC party after Johnny Dopp. And then we have, I'm trying to think of some other people that have had some really long standing. And then you look at, you know, they have this long standing and power. What have they done to make the city better? Doesn't necessarily have to be Black Philadelphia, all of the cities. And then I'm noticing what year they closed those 30 schools, you know, and then how many, if we close 30, how do you bring in 90 if we couldn't afford 30? The math doesn't make sense. But those are private people. What are your, and to, back to the housing thing, I hear what you're saying. I think we have enough housing in Philadelphia if they make it more competitive in pricing for rental properties and what have you, and you do that by protecting small landlords so that the people do have another choice other than these new developer homes that get subsidized and they're getting rich for generations and generations. But the number one thing that I've learned that stops all of these problems, jobs. When you have the job, the proper job that's paying you a livable wage or more, then you can afford the home that you really want to be in. You don't have to have subsidy. You can afford to send your kid to a parochial private school, on and on and on. You can't shoot while you're working, so that stops, helps bring down the violence. And if you're educated correctly, then you do qualify and pass to get into the unions and get some of those union jobs that pay $50 to $100 an hour. So tell me, what are your three, four, five passions that are on your platform and the things you really want to change?
Yes, thank you for that. So one, I would advocate that legislation mandate that we educate our children and give our children the same quality education that they do the surrounding counties, suburbs, and the military. And by doing so, one, we need to bring back phonics. We need to bring back cursive writing. We need to bring back home economics and wood shops and get our children prepared for the world. For those individuals who do not want to go to college, we need to prepare them and have them job ready. When they're in school, they need to do civics and civil and factory training. We need to start getting our children ready for factories. You know, Amazon wanted to make Philadelphia the headquarters, but our children weren't factory ready. Our individuals beyond post-graduation are not factory ready. So we want to get them ready and give them some job and education. You know, every job, no matter whether the job requires you to drive or not, they ask you if you have a license. So we want to prepare, have our babies ready and be prepared when they step out into the world in the workforce to have a job ready. We don't want them to get ready. We want them to be ready. And that goes also for individuals who haven't gotten it. Like you have individuals that did not graduate from school or they're older and did not have a GED. They do have programs that work. They do have programs that have these things. But we, if they're not coming to us and we see these things, we need more people advocating and going out to them saying, hey, bring them in so that they can become employed and reduce crime. Second thing that I want to do, you know, we're short on police dispatchers and individuals coming out of prison, and they say they're reformed. So we have to make sure that they have sustainable jobs too. So what I want to do is advocate that we create a police dispatcher apprenticeship program, hiring teenagers and ex-offenders. This way we can decrease criminal activity, increase civil activity, and transition them right into government jobs. For those ex-offenders who do not have high school diplomas, they can come back twice a week, couple hours, and work towards the GED. My third point that I want to take home, that I want you all to take home, is I call them seniors. My mother called. My mother said, "No, baby, we're seasoned seniors." So I said, "Okay, Mom." So what I want to do is to advocate that we create a seasoned senior security fund, offering 10 to 15 hours of grant services for those individuals, seniors, and the chronically disabled for the rest of their days. This way they don't have to choose between their health and their generational wealth, because a lot of seniors, I've talked around when I had boots on the ground door to door, and they said, "I'm sick. I need help. But they asked me to relinquish my house. The home health care services that the state provides the services for, you shouldn't have to choose between your health and your generational wealth.
You're absolutely
We need the seniors. We need that wisdom. We need that guidance. So our seniors are dying off because they don't want to give up their home. And another thing, if you're going to take the home, why are we paying taxes? Why are we maintaining the upkeep of the house? So if you're going to take the house when they pass, then the state should be responsible for the taxes and the upkeep of the house into the rest of the days, because when you sell it off, you don't give the family anything.
You're absolutely right. You never owned it, it seems like.
Right, and I want to speak on what you mentioned, stop and frisk. I'm totally against stop and frisk because I got black and brown sons, and I fear that at any time that they come out, that if the police stop them, they can put false charges on them. And it is my opinion, and not even my opinion, because I witnessed this for myself one day where cops stopped an individual in his vehicle, and I was younger back then. They stopped him in his vehicle and planted drugs on him. And I called in to the 911. Yes, I was driving, and I witnessed that myself. So I'm afraid, and I've also had an experience during stop and frisk. I was in the North Philadelphia area, and I know that it was a heavily drug traffic area. And it was extremely hot that day. I was parched, and I went to the steps, and I said, "Oh no, they got stop and frisk." So even as a woman, I was afraid to be in a certain neighborhood because I am a black individual. I'm Afro American, so I went back to my vehicle, and I'll tell you, no lie, I drove maybe two car lengths, and police pulled up. I didn't see them nowhere in sight. And lined those gentlemen up on the wall. They were males and females. And these are actually individuals that lived in the area because I know the area. And that could have been me on the wall. That's a very frightening thing, especially when you're an individual who lived your life according to, and you abide by the law. So I'm against that. And then when you place false charges on them, you find yourself justifying paying into getting these things, these false wrongfully charges off of your record when they should have never been put there. So I'm against that. And you mentioned PPA. I strongly believe that they need to give back PPA to the city. We should not be privatized. And when PPA went privatized, you spend your time, your hard-earned money, you take off a day, and they never take off anything, no matter whether you have proof that the charges aren't valid. They are not good people.
You know,
if we take if we take back PTA, we can employ more people.
I want you to hold that thought because I want you to stay on the line. We're getting ready to do a track by DJ legend Dr. Ngozi, okay? But hold that thought so that you can really bring home this PPA because I didn't realize how ruthless they are, but we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay on the line. Don't go anyplace. So we have a track by us. Thank you.
Our eyes west, chase the sunset, into wine on my breath, and you got your hand on my hand, lips to my ear, whisper, switch to fifth gear, I'll blow a La Cosa Nostra in a Testarossa, pull me closer, baby, don't let go, get away from where we came from, where we'll end up, I don't know, we got the whole world ahead and the whole world behind, nothing in the rear view but wasted time. But don't turn around. Your kiss excites me, kiss indicts me. Time to leave this godforsaken town. Ready, set, go, out the ghetto. Black tuxedo, black stiletto. Please ignore the wanted posters. The weight of guilt might slow us down. We got the whole world ahead and the whole world behind. Nothing in the rear view but wasted time. On our trail, would you follow me over the edge, darling? Pay no mind to the sound of the sirens and caution signs. Let's run for our lives. I'd rather be running than run out of time. Oh,
Dr. Ngozi, as always, he can always give us something to really listen to and tap our feet to. Do I still have Nadira on the line?
Yes, awesome. You do.
So we were talking about the parking authority, and this is one that really hits home. I haven't had a problem in many, many years since I was working at Jefferson Hospital, but I followed the parking authority about a month ago, and I noticed I was talking to them, and I noticed, like, the cars that they were ticketing and booting, and they were putting the tickets on coming right back, and they were booting the cars. But the other thing I saw, and I talked with someone off the record, they had PPA come up the street, like, right after the street sweeping two-hour period. And you literally don't have time to move your car back over. And so, of course, if you have a whole street parking on one side instead of using both sides, you're going to get somebody parked in the bus zone or whatever. And as I explained to the two young people that came up, I said, you have to realize the different neighborhoods you're in. You can't necessarily park your car around the corner or two blocks away, because when you do, the people who break into cars and steal cars know that's a car that doesn't belong on that block, or that's the car that belongs and checking you. And so now they're breaking into your car, you know. So this just has a snowball effect. And because it seems like the laws on the books for carjacking and car stealing aren't being applied, you know, this has morphed into so much more. But I just noticed how strategic they were to come up right when they know people have to be wrong because they have to move, and how fast they were coming back booting the vehicles. And then if it's a Friday or something and it's the off week that you don't get paid, then you're racking up all sorts of storage fees. However, the gentleman did tell me that you have to have at least 3 tickets for more than 6 months, $150 or more, to get booted. But I'm not too clear on the red light ticket that automatically is $150, and do you have to have that red light ticket for 6 months in order to get booted? And I don't understand the, and maybe you do, the process of when they take your car, boot it, you can't get it back for whatever reason, you owe $2,000 and they sell your vehicle for $20,000. Do you know of anyone that's ever gotten any money back from their car being sold from PPA? Because I was told that they don't keep the money, but I was also told that they do, and I don't know anybody that's ever gotten a check from them. So I give the mic to you, Nadira.
Well, I think PPA is a farce, and it's thievery, because, one, I have personal experiences with them. That just happened with me where I was volunteering at a food bank, giving out food. So they put all these signs up, and they say, oh, street cleaning during this time. So, you know, people coming and getting food, parking. I was jammed up. I was not able to get out. So I got a ticket. This was this week. There was no cleaning people. They didn't even clean on the block. So you're putting these signs up to rob the residents, the people of Philadelphia, because you have a sign up saying that you're cleaning, but where's the street person? It's still dirty out there. There's still debris flying. And this is not just that block that I gave food on, that I was on handing out food. This is many blocks. And another thing, when they did the amnesty program, I fell under the amnesty, and I owed them. I fell under the amnesty program, and I paid with my debit card. Well, they suspended that method of paying
yes,
off the charges.
Did.
Then they sent the letter out. The letter was dated after. The letter was stated. So I don't remember how the letter was stated. So I took the day off. I went down there to fight that, and I said, I already made an agreement. You don't just suspend something, and I just got the letter, and the letter is not even dated right. You know they put all those charges back on?
Yes. I believe that because I've had that happen in the tax department. The pizza guy told me the same thing with his PPA experience last month. He was like, I paid him. The lady said, as long as I have less than 3 tickets, I did that, blah, 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 I'm working. And his stuff was real shaky and not right. But the bottom line is he was trying. They told him one thing and did another. And I truly believe that they do need to be audited, that there does need to be a tracking of where all this money goes. It needs to, and I also asked the PPA guy, do you have a website, since y'all are doing all this slick, sneaky stuff, and sometimes the ticket blows off and you don't even know it, and the price of getting booted is so low. So you should be able to go to a website and put your plate number in and see if you have any outstanding tickets. How about the mothers who have sons that will do stuff, get a ticket and hide it and not say anything? You know,
yes.
And I had a son do something similar to that with a car payment. I was like, why would you do it? But they don't think past 2 days or right now here. And they are so selfish, they care more about themselves and they don't think about mom, dad, or whatever. but you should be able to go into a website for PPA, put in your license plate to know if you have any outstanding tickets, because sometimes you don't know for different reasons. So, Nadira, hold your thought, and I'm going to ask you to call back in with the other issues you have. I want to get to another caller because I would talk to you all night because you're someone that I really believe in and really admire for all the different things you're doing, and you're so well-versed and educated, and, boy, do you have a lot of credentials and degrees and stuff. So if you would, so I can get to the next few callers, call back in about 20 minutes so we can finish up with your other passions and platforms. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. And I have the next caller. Hello. Are you there?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booz Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where the old people will vote for whoever name they can pronounce. What's good?
Okay. Well, I hope they can pronounce David and they can pronounce O. So that sounds all good. So what's good with
White
you?
Show, we got that wrapped up there. That's the even. Even the one with no teeth can pronounce that one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I wanted to give a shout out to, you know, your guests and all of that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Clev One got a curious question out here for those who may be listening to this, and, you know, and an inquiry on a situation that would make and help us out here. Well, the first thing is this. You know me as a young man, you know what I'm saying, trying to be out here as an entrepreneur, whatever you want to call it, economically. You know, I want to gain some monetary goals in life, you know what I mean, as a young Nubian skin Negro man, you know what I'm saying, indigenously, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? So I'm trying to, you know, achieve things in this world in which we label as corrupt, I should say. You know, that's why we're on here talking about politics here. Now, what I'm seeing is this. Me as Clef One, I see a lot on the street, you know what I'm saying, where, you know, the street got house missing, you know what I mean, like a jack-o'-lantern mouth. A jack-o'-lantern's mouth is what your street looks like, you know what I'm saying, missing teeth in it. Lots, you know, really dump trash and all those type of things like that. You know, the young guys that sell crack and all that, so they loud, you know what I mean, and all that on the block while they got their pants hanging down on the side of the lot, you know, the missing teeth part of the street. So here comes Clev One. I'm from the street, you know what I'm saying, around the corner perhaps. You know what I mean? From
the
same hood.
Talking on the street? Because how are they talking on the street? Is anybody on the street taking this next election serious?
Well, listen, let me get to it, because we know you talking on the street, so let me get it, little man, mm-hmm. So now let me say this real quick. I buy a house. I buy a lot. I try to build a house up, you know what I'm saying? Perhaps maybe live in it, put a village of family in it, you know what I'm saying? Maybe someone in the neighborhood might want to buy it, whatever the case may be. I'm from the hood. Now, would the neighbors have a problem with that? Clev One from around the corner, same neighborhood, trying to do as a black man, brown man, or whatever man you want to call me, trying to do something productive. Would someone have a problem with that? Me constructing my house in the empty lot. Would they have a problem with that? That's the first question. Second thing is this. I think we need to have a little bit more stronger, I'd say, support system for single fathers who unfortunately have children with unfit women who can't play the role of the mother, and, you know, the stronger fit of helping these fathers find housing. Some of them may not have the proper housing and things like that. I think we needed a stronger support system on the single fathers with the kids where the unfit mothers is not around. You know what I'm saying? That's what I got for tonight. I'm Clev One, one half of the Booz Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where irate and unruly protesters are getting body slammed up against the ballot box while while we got Eagles jerseys on and our hats cocked to the side. Check your satellites.
I'll keep that in mind. Track next by international DJ legend Dr. Ngozi after 2022 Rookie of the Year Plus One.
All these questions on my mind, like I'm never satisfied. But I get all I need, more than I need to get by. It's getting heavy on my brain, too busy trying to make a name. It's like when I get some, the more I want the love thing. Why I always gotta be perfect? Sometimes I go, I try to make everything so perfect, but it's not. And it's cool, cause it's real when it's true.
How high is high enough? How far is far enough? How much is too much? When is enough enough? How rich is rich enough? How strong is strong enough? I'm scared of losing touch. So when is enough enough?
When did I get so distracted? It's like my words don't match my actions. I lose my clarity, but I'll get back to me in no time. Free dots and no reply, feeling like it's social suicide. But when I clear my mind, it's kind of nice to quiet. Why I always gotta be perfect? Sometimes I go, I try to make everything so perfect, but it's not, and it's cool, cause it's real when it's true, yeah.
How high is high enough? How far is far enough? How much is too much? When is enough enough? How rich is rich enough? How strong is strong enough? I'm scared of losing touch. So when is enough enough?
Miss Wanda, this
can
man is bad.
Can
I tell you,
yes,
I can. I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. Sometimes you talk over. Sometimes your hearing is always on. Anyway, I ain't going to tease Wanda. But anyway, tonight, the soundtrack of your life is provided by this man that I had really researched and found, man. One of the best artists right now in Great Britain. His name is Sam Henshaw. This boy is bad. And I got a chance to talk to his agent, and I'll be talking, hopefully be talking to him on Wednesday live. I hope to get him on Beverly Nation. And he is somebody that is reckoning, man. He is awesome. I love this young man. Yep. Olad Skies.
Awesome. 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 So we have our next caller. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
How are you? I am good. This is Yolanda
I
from
know
Philadelphia.
This
how are you?
Okay. This is Yo-Yo.
Good. Yes,
someone
ma'am.
Someone else that's very heavily involved and committed to the community and change.
Yes,
tell me,
ma'am.
You hear what we're talking about? Parking Authority is what Nadira is talking about. She's going to call back so we can finish that. And I'm reading off this wonderful report card that we put together for the differences between David O. and Sherelle Parker. What do you think about this? Because you've been out there helping and on the campaign and trying to educate people, you know. So what do you think about all of what's going on? And what do you think about, what do you think is going to happen on E-Day? And what are you hearing in the streets? Are people, how are people responding to you and taking the information you're trying to give them? Because when I see you in action, everybody loves you, you know, everybody. So
well, thank you, thank you, ma'am.
Or anything else.
Thank you, ma'am. I am, you know, for coming into this kind of blindsided, but knowing that it's a Democratic city, I am really very surprised in a sense, but not, because I feel that David is giving her a run for her money. The streets are really receiving him. For one, everyone seems to know what he stands for. He's known. He's very liked. The only opposition, which, you know, is disappointing to me as a community, as a woman of color, is that I've had individuals who are like, I don't know anything about Sherelle. Like, when we went to the juvenile justice system, I kind of veered off and ended up on some side streets, and a young lady said to me, I love David, oh, da-da-da. And she knew everything about him, and she says to me, I can't vote for him because he's a Republican. And I go, wait a minute, so you love him, you're going to vote for him, so you realize he was Republican? She goes, yeah. I said, not for nothing, man. She goes, I don't know anything about Sherelle Parker, woman. Like, I know I don't really care for her. You know, she's a protege. And I said, with all due respect, this is part of the problem with our city. Like, people are so upset that are going on that they need a new era. They're not opposed to voting for a Republican, per se. Not the new school. The older school, they've like, listen, I don't want to vote for her. She's a Bob Brady pick. But they refuse to vote Republican, you know, and
sad.
I feel the work we do on the street, yeah, it's sad, because I said, not for nothing, ma'am, you know, a lot of people, you tell me, don't vote and things aren't going to change. You can't do the same thing and expect a different result.
Different
that's
results.
Insanity.
Yep.
Yeah, and you just told me
that's
you liked
insanity.
Him up until the point that you realized he wasn't your party, and this is what the city of Philadelphia is betting on, and they're using
yes.
it, you know, that they're using a woman of color and the fact that it could make history to breed their error or to bring in their vision, you know, unfortunately. And I don't want to insult anyone, but it's you know, so open your eyes, people. Like, we do need
yeah.
a change. You know him. He's good for a job. And this is a seed that's sowed in our brains. And that's the only opposition. But I think even then, people are very receptive. Today I was out. The Spanish community loves him. The Haitian community loves him.
Sure.
Business owners love him. So I feel that, you know, he's actually, he's up there. So I'm happy about that, in the, you know. I do want to also speak on some things I heard Nadira speak about. She gave an example about getting pulled over years ago. I just want to say there was a gentleman today when I was in the streets. He came up to me. He said, you know, this is crazy. He said, I got pulled over yesterday by a cop. And when he pulled over, they said, listen, I know you're registered to carry. Show me your gun. Okay? And he says, okay. He says, why? Like,
but in
said,
Pennsylvania, this is a state that you don't have to give that information to a police officer.
Right, but because he is registered, when he ran his plate, that shows up when the officer runs their plate that you are licensed to carry.
Yes,
so
unfortunately, it shows up
right.
now. But that's another
right.
thing that could greatly affect our sons and daughters. If you
right.
have
you know what's
him
funny,
carry,
Yolanda, I got to come on and say something, Yolanda. You're absolutely right. Because I'm licensed to carry,
mm-hmm.
and when I drive, and that's why I don't like time. A lot of times I take Uber and Lyft, so I don't have to worry about that foolishness.
Right.
You know,
right.
we have to protect ourselves. It is what it is. You know, I mean, don't run up on me. You'd be all right. But anyway, it's crazy that this is going on in our community, where they're able to run your tags to find out if you are, you know, registered carrier of a firearm.
Right.
And I'm telling anybody out there that's doing, you know, radio. Listen, I got to do this public service announcement. Yolanda, you stepped on my toe, and I love it. Wanda, it's your fault. And
I'm
you,
sorry,
and you're younger, and you're my little sister.
Oh, that's better.
It's all Wanda's fault, and she's gonna be. I'm gonna get her. Listen, it's very important for people who are doing podcasts. Be very careful in these streets. I don't care what state you're in America. Be very careful. I never ever now really drive, you know, because it's crazy because
yes,
of the situation.
Is.
I will always make sure I get to where I need to get to on somebody else's gas because I don't want nobody knowing where I'm going. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they'll pull you over
lie.
And they'll arrest you. They'll arrest you for nothing, especially when you're trying to do the right thing. You know what I mean? You ain't getting no last key, nuts, suckers.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I talked to a young man that's a little bit younger, and he's a reverend. And he used to work at the Fifth Street, G-Pass, Fifth Street Community CDC office. And he told me that point blank, his RV was towed. Now, I don't know all the other details because maybe it was someplace it really, really wasn't. But he was living in it. It was off the grid. He had it hooked up to electric. And he literally caught on video two cops trying to force their way into the window, scraping off his, say it was valet, and they took his license plate. And because he's a Republican, he broke it down because I met him like a year ago, and yes, he was on the Republican campaign. But he said because he was a Republican, a certain person gave orders for them to go after him. And I would like to know more of that story because he specifically said it came from, you know, a person running in this electoral race. I'm not going to say the name because that's his side. I haven't heard the other side. But that's scary, like you said, that you run your plates and they want to tell you what you have. And maybe you don't, or maybe – you know, it's time to get that extra stripe on your collar or whatever. You belong to one of those weird groups that we hear about. And so you go, he's asking you to show the gun. Why do you want to see my gun? All you need to know is if I have it or not. And if I choose to say, yes, I have it, then I say, yes, I have it. If I choose to say I don't have it, that's none of your damn business, for real, because my girlfriend, Tamika, who carries, She stays on top of all this, and she's a third, fourth, fifth degree black belt and everything else and works in the bank. And she was like, no, Wanda, you don't have to divulge in the state of Pennsylvania that you're carrying, you know. And if you do, I would like to say, please, people, if you are deciding to carry, to make sure you get the carry insurance because carrying the gun just brings a whole nother level responsibilities and headaches and paranoia, and you're going to have an incident sooner or later because that's just how the devil works and how corruption works and how the Democrats work, you know. And because in the city of Philadelphia they promote this lawlessness that we're seeing, and it's a broken window theory, you're going to have a situation. And this U.S. Law Shield only costs about $300 or $200-something a year. And you get a lawyer that this is his specialty. This is all he does is defend the rights of proper gun owners. So I want to put that out there. U.S. Law Shield, $300 versus $20,000, your choice, because that's how much a bullet costs you.
If I could just go a little further with that real quick. So the gentleman, he asked him to show him the gun. And he says, obviously you're not carry, but why are you pulling me over? And the officer was insisting that he pull the gun out and place it. At that point, the gentleman in the lead, Then at that point, the gentleman said, excuse me, is your body cam, it's not on, isn't it? Because he said there was no light on the body cam. His body cam was not on, right? I'm not pulling. He said, no, bro, I'm not putting this gun in my hand, your body cam or nothing's on. So he said, I made a conscious decision to actually take off. Like, I wasn't putting a gun in my hand with an officer without a working body cam. And he's, I said, well, you know, I said, I think you did the right thing because, I mean, justifiably, then if he was going to pursue you, he said he followed him for another block or two, he would have to call backup and at least you would have someone covering you. So at this, and I went on to ask, I said, well, was it a black officer or a white officer? He goes, it was a black officer. Okay? And it was a black gentleman.
Wait a minute, Yolanda. Let's go back to Philando Castile. The same thing Yolanda is saying about this right now. That Hispanic officer asked him. That, right, listen, he was asked what Yolanda just said. We knew that you have, you know, your license to carry. Show your gun. And he said he was not going to. He wasn't going to do that in St. Paul, Minnesota. That they shot that man in front of his wife and his daughter, little baby girl in the back seat.
Yeah.
A lot of people forget. I mean, a lot of times we forget about these cases. You know, all we do is say their name. But no, it's not about say their name all the time.
Right.
It's about, you know, explaining what happened. You know, Philando Castile was killed for nothing on the same premise that Yolanda just said right here at Beverly Nation. We know that you carry. Show your gun. He said, no. I'm a school teacher. Why are you pulling me over? And that cop shot him. And on his police cam, he lost his mind. And a lot of times I understand what's going on in the city and people who carry. Hey, man, it's really Annie Oakley, it's Wyatt Earp, and it's the Wild Wild West. And it's crazy that you have to protect yourself out here in the street. I'm telling you, and I'm saying it on air, don't run up on Olasky, because it might not be no more Beverly Nation. It might end, because I'm telling you right now, don't run up on me. So you can talk all the talk you want to, don't run up on me. And now back to our program.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, brother, it's crazy how what you just said. It's like you have to watch where you're going because you invited me to be a part of this family. And you said, Wanda, all I want you to do is talk about politics because that's what we see that you're passionate about and it's really some good stuff and generational wealth. And I do that. And when you asked me to do that, it made me start doing more researching, more posting, and my posts. You know, I get people calling me all the time. I went up to Lincoln University's homecoming, and people were coming over. I really like what you post, and keep posting. You say that, but you don't even like it. And then someone had to explain to me, well, I work for the city, so I can't. I'm like, wow, the city works for us. Yeah, you have a job there, but when they tell you how to think or what to do, and you're not doing something like nude pictures or using a bunch of profanity, you can't even like something because you work for the city. Do you know 30,000 people work for the city? You know, and when I've been going to JFK the last couple of weeks to take care of some improper tax issues where they didn't apply my money at all, and the next minute you know my property without any notification, warning, or anything was on the sheriff's sales list, come to find out, and I had no idea. And went home, pulled some checks, and I literally was able to pull $11,000 worth of checks I wrote just last year just for that property. And so the amount that they were saying I owed, which was something like 30-something, is like now down to 10 from my understanding. How do you make that many mistakes on just one building? But they've been doing this to me on a regular all the way back since 2014. I've had different buildings accidentally show up on sheriff's sale list that literally didn't even owe taxes the first time. And when I called, they was like, we made a mistake. How? You didn't make a mistake. You want me out of the community and out of the neighborhood. Even with the daycare, the harassment that I would get. One time, Elle and I came to my building, and when they don't even have enough people to do one block, you know, eight times. But they found a way. And when the case was over, it was overturned. Charges were dropped, and the judge literally said in front of everybody, "Miss Walker, I know you have a countersuit." And people started clapping.
You know what, Wanda? It's crazy because the history of Beverly Nation, I'm going to play my next track, but the history of Beverly Nation, you look at one of the greatest warriors of all time. And you know her. Her name is Sister Bessie.
Sister Bessie has
death threat after death threat because she tells the truth. And no one's harmed Sister Bessie. You know why? Because she's brought here by God, and she's very careful, and she don't always put people in her circle. Understand, again, when you're doing podcasts, okay, especially like this type of show that's a talker who can talk all around the world, go down to South Carolina
about
and still be talking on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, the key is when you give the truth, you have to be careful anywhere you go. Because remember now, all this stuff is archived, and they know who you are. And Beverly Nation will be here. And how do we grow? That's how we grow. Hey, Sam, take us away.
I know that heaven's on our side. If it hurts, baby, let it hurt, baby. It won't work, though, let me try.
Better days once we had it all. Now it's so mundane. We should stay the course. Just step to change. We can't complicate it more than this. If it hurts, baby, we let it hurt.
Again, this is the British sensation, Mr. Sam Henshaw. And you know what, Brother O, you know who he reminds me of? John Legend.
Who's that?
Noel.
Yeah, you know what's
Noel
crazy?
Gordon.
You're saying that. That's crazy. It's crazy
and
you're saying that.
Else?
He reminds me
guess
a lot. He reminds me. Go ahead.
You. I've heard you sing before. You
you're
know.
Your mess.
You
don't, no.
Yep, the three of you, that's what I'm hearing.
Don't start your mess. Don't do that. You know what I mean? Everybody don't know. I'm, you know, I got that little voice. You know what I'm saying? You know, it is what it is. But, you know,
okay.
Of course, you know, Sam is awesome. And he reminds me a lot of Anthony David as well. Anthony David out of Atlanta, Georgia. So we're going to bring in the next caller. And, you know, right here on Beverly Nation, of course, 646-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by The Voice at Looking Glass and, of course, A Ghost of Time Multimedia. And we are proud, you know, to be on this radio, right, Wanda, for more than 10 years. And I'm so proud of you tonight. And Carla, let's get it, is in.
And this is, hello, Carla, are you there?
Hello.
Yes. So wonderful to hear your voice. Can you tell everybody who you are?
Me, Wanda?
Yes, you.
Oh, I didn't know I was on. Oh, thank you so much. So good evening, everyone. Congratulations on your 10 years on being in service to the community. My name is Dr. Movita Johnson-Hero.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tell people more. Tell them about your book, what section of the city that you run and rule.
So I have been fighting for our communities on both sides of the gun since 2011 after my 18-year-old son, Charles Johnson, was murdered in a case of mistaken identity. Because I was fighting for our young people and fighting against institutional discrimination and racism and just trying to protect them and keep them from the carceral and from the cemetery, I wound up first going into District Attorney Krasner's office. We had a strategy here in 2013-14 that was very successful and severely underfunded, and none of the politicians in office would fund it. So I wound up going into DA Krasner's office, and we were working on getting the pilot was in South Philadelphia. The strategy is actually, its actual name is GVI, Group Violence Intervention. So when the city wouldn't fund it, I wound up running, did not win the first time, but wound up winning because I went into DA Larry Krasner's office. I was his supervisor for Victim Witnesses Services and Restorative Justice. We were in an agreement with the City of Philadelphia under Kenny's administration in November of 2018 to get a $500,000 grant for GVI. 4 days before the submission of the grant, the City of Philadelphia, Kenny, and the managing director's office pulled out. They did not pull out of going after the money. They pulled out of funding a strategy that actually had a 50% reduction in gun violence in the city, and they still went for the money, and they funded their same old patronage stuff that they've been funding that never worked. So that January, I actually ran for office again. I made history as the first Muslim woman ever elected to the Pennsylvania legislature, because what I said was if none of the politicians who were here in Philadelphia were going to bring the money home, I was going to go and bring it back myself. And I did exactly that. I went up to Harrisburg as a six-month freshman with no history in politics, didn't like civics class in high school. I bought back $1.3 million for GVI, which is up and running in Philadelphia, actually had its evaluation by the University of Pennsylvania that came out on February 28th, and in the pilot of GVI in 2022 already had a 50% reduction in gun violence in Philadelphia. It worked, and it's a positive peer pressure strategy that actually looks to address racism and social injustice by those who are likely to participate in violence, giving them the solutions that they need to be successful in the community. And what a lot of people don't realize is I work with these people every day, these young people. I go on corners and I talk to young people. I'm not afraid of them. And they want out, but there are no doors. We got to keep providing the doors.
Movita, they respect you too much for you to ever be afraid of them. Those same young men that most people would be afraid of and the same ones that might knock somebody over the head wouldn't dare do something like that to you because they know you. They see you in the community all the time. They know you're committed. You know, something like I do in Germantown now that I'm in Germantown, you know I come from where you are. And that's how we know each other. 52nd and Wyalusing is where my dad was for 31 years, and the community loved him just as much. And I'm so proud to know you and see the things that you're doing, and it brings tears to my eyes. Hopefully one day we can get that mural up of my dad, but he's always there in spirit. But these kids know, they know who, you know, to always respect. And it might not even be their parents at home, but someone like you, they know, because you're the type of person that can sense when something's wrong and you'll call them over
and say, hey, what can I do to make things better? Why would you, but I want to ask you, because you're right in there, you've seen both sides behind closed doors. Why would something that's working so well, and I know that to be true because I read the book that the guy who was working with you, the Focus Deterrent, and I even called him up or contacted him some way.
David Kennedy.
Yeah, I talked to him, I believe, briefly, and it was something else I was being newsy to do because I also contacted someone else that was on the stage with you that day when I posted your video, and I kept asking him questions. He didn't call me back. I think he thought I was a spy or something because I wanted to get more information on Focus Deterrent. It wasn't in place now. And that's why I called them. I think it was like last year. I'm like, what's going on? Why this was working? How come they're not using it anymore? You know, whatever year they sort of stopped it or whatever, they weren't, like you said, the 50% reduction, and then they wouldn't. Why are these politicians not going to get this money? And why is it that we have so many black politicians in position? You know, and we're overrepresented. You know, 68% city council, black and brown.
Yeah.
And now with the May elections, we're down to 58, but we're only 42-47% of the population. So no matter what, we're overrepresented, but yet we're always on the bottom. And I blame the politicians that we keep voting for. One or two terms, someone's in. If you look to the left and the right and you don't see change, I don't care how cute they are, how much you like them, how many turkeys they gave you, how many book bags you collected. Vote them out. It's not personal. It's community. How many more caskets do we need to cry over before we start voting strategically? And if you're not going to do the work that Movida was willing to do and other good people like Darisha Parker, then we're going to vote you out because it's our kids' lives that are at stake. Why are these politicians not doing the very things that work? And are, can you answer me this, are most of the ones not doing what you do, are the majority of them Democrats or Republicans? That's the other question I would like to know, because black people seem to be stuck on Democrats.
Yeah, they're Democrats, Wanda, and let's be very clear.
Exactly.
I went up to Harrisburg, as who really doesn't, freshmen don't have any power. And I actually made an ask of a white minority leader from Allegheny County, and he granted my request. But here's the thing. Anybody who was in office could have done this in the blink of an eye. Why did the mom of the dead kid have to run for office to go bring money home for a strategy that was working? So when you look at gun violence, we look at gun violence the wrong way. Yes, we vote these people into office that look like us, but their handlers don't look like us. The people that own them don't look like us. The people that they answer to don't look like us. Gun violence is big business in the United States of America. One of the arguments that I had when I was in, even before I went into the district attorney's office, when I created the Charles Foundation, because historical grief support actually re-traumatized me, so I needed to create something that was healthy and therapeutic. And even when I created the Charles Foundation, and I saw, and let me say this, we've never solicited a penny in 12 years, right? But what I saw was that all of these organizations was chasing grant funding, and that was controlling the narrative and controlling the work, right? So I realized that gun violence is a very big business. People don't realize it. Here's the picture. When you think of gun violence, why have we put more money into victims than we have put into prevention, right?
Amen.
So
I've asked that.
When you look at the money and you look at, we built two multi-million dollar trauma bases in Philadelphia just for gun violence. We fund hospitals. We fund criminal justice centers. We fund, I mean, it's unbelievable the money that we are using to pay for gun violence. When if we took a percentage of that money and put that money into prevention, we wouldn't need multi-million dollar trauma bays. We wouldn't need fully staffed EJCs and fully staffed hospitals and all of these victim services. And then even when you talk about the money that they put in the victim services, the new money, the community grants that the city has done, and also the money that PCCD has given out, there has been no encouragement of collaborative efforts and community-based organizations in the city of Philadelphia. Even when we fought for $100 million for gun violence prevention, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, the caveat needs to be that you force these community organizations to work together, but that's too much like right. It's too much like common sense, right? No, they want them fighting against each other, pot of money like crabs in a barrel.
How about this, Movita? Look at the last round of money given out for the gun violence prevention. And I had an incident where I had a group come rent my daycare space, and I dropped the rent drastically so that they could be in that area. When I asked them to come, it was specifically, I need your help. You have a good reputation, I thought, and I need men in this community because we had the largest shooting cluster in all of Philadelphia. And then once this merger came to be and they were going after grant money and I thought we were doing it together, their group and ReReady My Daycare, I was asked to write a letter. And when I wrote the letter, I mentioned my daycare and them and how we came up with this idea. And I didn't catch on right away, but the president at the time was like, oh, that's not the type of letter I wanted. I didn't realize that he was just using me as a springboard to get attention and my building being so big. But he wanted the grant money, and he made a lot of promises. Oh, we're going to have a recording studio here, computers, blah, blah, blah. So, but they never did any of the work, Movita. And I'm being careful not to say the name because people like you who know me know who I'm talking about because I made it a point to email almost, if not every single council person so that they would know, hey, you know I do the work and I'm a good person. I brought in this group that has a good reputation that looks good. Come to find out, they pick kids on the honor roll to be a part of their group to further, you know, make their numbers look good. Didn't have anything to do with the at-risk youth. So when you go to give out this money, and this was months before the monies were given out, 2 years ago, I said, I just want you to know we parted ways because they weren't doing what they said they were going to do. And this person keeps coming on, speaking, making it seem like they care about at-risk youth. But he personally told me he doesn't want to mix the bad kids with the good kids. I'm like, there are no bad kids. They're at risk so that we can make sure and prevent them being bad. But what it showed me after I did all the writing and emails, that the very group that I said, hey, they're not doing the work, they got a grant for like over $200,000. And I was like, wow. But even if they thought maybe they were doing it, they had no track record of dealing with at-risk youth. So this is their first year expanding into this if they were interested, which they showed they weren't. And they still gave them a crap load of money versus a group that had the track record, and provable track record. And so it seems like whoever's in control of the money specifically gives the money to the groups they know do the least amount of positive changing or good so that these numbers stay the same or even go up. So am I right about how I'm thinking and looking at this? I'm not understanding how they keep giving money to, you know, large sums of money to people that don't have or groups that don't have provable track records.
Yeah, no, that absolutely happens in Philadelphia, Wanda. And you have organizations who say that they are working with young people who are at risk or who need additional supports, and they actually are not. They're getting the church children. And here's the thing, all of our children need support, right? Some of our children need more support than others. Our children can't get a meal at home. And when we use these funds and we actually provide these services for young people that don't need them, that's taking it from another young person that does need it. But I know very well what you're talking about. There's organizations who get lots of money to do the work who aren't really doing the work, right? But that's been the history of Philadelphia since I have been on the front line of this issue. And that's the one reason why we've never wanted to use other people's money. We've never solicited because it muddies the water. right?
Yes.
Because you could have all these wonderful intentions when you first begin to do the work, but then when you start chasing the dollar, that dictates the work that you provide.
Yes.
And when you sign a grant application and they tell you that you can do work, they can change their minds at any time and say, you can't do A, B, C, and D.
Yep.
So you know what? I'd rather do it from the muscle. I am willing
exactly.
to contract with an organization. You know, we actually have a project that we do in the community where we bring young people out between 14 and 18 years old. We pay them $20 to clean and beautify the community. They make $100 cash a day, right? Because I
mm-hmm.
spent my career doing this work addressing the social determinants that lead to community violence. At the top of that list is poverty. A lot of our young people act out because they're hungry, because they have no money, because they have needs, and their needs aren't being met in our community. Look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Oh,
at
yeah.
the bottom of
yeah,
that pyramid is love and food and security.
Yep, and belonging, yep. You're absolutely right. Movita, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you. I hope I can get you next month because you are a wealth of knowledge. I honor you. I adore you. I love you. I appreciate you and all the things that you're doing. And every time I see you, I just smile all over because it's like, yo, you're a legend and you're someone I know that has really put in the work. And it's so much that you have given and so many sacrifices that you have made. You know, it just makes me say, like, wow, like how much does a black woman have to carry and go through? You know, and then you still keep rising like the phoenix right on your book, you know. So thank you so very much. I'm going to go to caller number 3 in the queue or caller number 4 at this point. Caller, are you there?
All right. Now, here's the situation. These callers have 5 minutes because we're getting running down to the time of the ghost. So I'm bringing these callers on. Caller, no, you're fine. You have 5 minutes, guys, to speak your piece.
Hey, peace. It's the magic, man. I just want to call in and show some divine love and support. How you doing tonight?
Finding yourself?
Right. You know, great show. Honest to your special honored guest. Love the content. I said
thank
once
you.
Before, you know, when it comes to politics, it's not about the party or anything like that. You know, not about the smiles and all that kind of stuff like that, but we need to be able to have people that's going to hold people accountable. You know,
yeah.
a fire to gun laws, let's be real. You can have license and get shot, not have a license, get shot. Have your hands up or down, still get shot. You get what I'm saying? It's about holding these soulless, you know what, accountable for their actions. And
yeah.
excuse me, I got to say this. Forget the excuses. I want to say the D word, but I'm trying to keep it respectful. Forget the people that's going to make all these excuses. Then, and we as a people have to stop allowing it. All right?
Yeah.
I'm the host of We Will Aware You. I'm the host of We Will Aware You. On my next show, I'm going to be doing my best to recapture the moment for some of us who have made it from nominee to enshrinee. That'll be on November the 16th. Okay? So stay tuned. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Dr. Ngozi, do I have you there?
Yes, indeed. You better believe
okay,
it. You
so
have the final caller.
One more caller? Okay.
Well, yes, that's correct. And this call is very important because he's our fifth reigning commissioner of our outstanding storied network.
The
Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
All right. Hey, how are you tonight, Wanda? Hi, how are you? Great show tonight. Great show tonight, and Movita is just awesome, and she's a good friend, and she's definitely remarkable and wonderful, and I was hoping that she was going to still be on here when I talked, because I met two of the kids from her program. The program she's been doing is awesome, and these kids, they work hard to change their lives around and stuff. And so the other month at one of the safety community events for community safety, two of the kids from her program came out to represent the Charles Foundation. because at that time she was in the hospital. And they came out and they represented her well by talking about the program and how it has helped them. So, and, you know, I often talk about all the time about all the money that's funneled through this city for gun violence prevention. And I've been talking about that for eons now, because every year they get money and mm-hmm. all these organizations aren't doing anything but just pocketing that money and not doing the programs, and just like the people that were in your building. And groups like that, because they don't deserve, they don't deserve anything. And they're not doing anything. They don't deserve anything. And that money needs to be taken back from them. It's just ridiculous. But this year, like last year, they put in, I think it was $172 million. The year before that, it was more. And then this year, the city has gotten like $85.5 million at one time. And then the other one was $122 million. And, you know, that money was dispersed to different organizations. I'm sorry, the 85.5, it was dispersed to 122 organizations. And then the 13.5 was given out to 31 organizations. So if the city has all these doggone organizations getting all this money, we should have no gun violence in this city. It's just
none.
And, you know, so things definitely have to change. And, you know, they really need to do the work if they're getting this money. And what's happening with a lot of these organizations, they're, like, coming up overnight. Like, as soon as the city says, oh, we got a new grant coming out,
no,
and your organization can apply. And so what some of the family members of these council people are doing, they're creating dummy organizations that are not even real organizations. And
you went out again, Dr. Chinchilla.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she's coming back again.
Yeah.
You're not in a good place to accept it.
No, that was somebody calling my phone. So when my phone started ringing.
Oh, okay. Those are some really horrible numbers.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. It's so sad. So,
well,
you know, they have to stop doing that.
We're number one in organ donation, Dr. Chinchilla. We're number one in organ donation in all of the United States for the 14th or 15th year in a row. And when I told someone that, they were like, well, no, it's not really like that. I said, the gift of whatever foundation put up the banner. I didn't make this up or pull it out of the sky. I literally saw the advertisement. And I took a picture of it and posted it because I couldn't believe it. So it sounds like, you know, it's just crazy. Number one organ. So our children are dying so other people get body parts, you know, and these body
parts, funny.
It's
funny you said that, Wanda, and I'm going to let Dr. J give her time for a show. But listen here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a show called Lovecraft Country, okay, and they talked about that. And, you know, it's crazy. That show should have went on and on and on. It should have had a second season, but it didn't.
Lovecraft.
And it talked about the horror, the Lovecraft Country. It was a civil rights horror story. It was perfect. And it talked about, you know, how they, you know, steal, you know, clone our bodies, steal our parts and, our organs and all that. It was crazy. But I'm not going through all that because, you know, time's getting short. So I'm going to go back to Dr. Chinchilla J, and then we'll go into Ngozi time after her.
All right. All right. Awesome, awesome. So thank you so much. And you're absolutely right. But my show is News for Everybody. It comes on Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on WBNN. And this Sunday night, we're going to be talking about Palestine and Israel again. And we're also going to be talking about some wrongful conviction cases, of course. And we're going to be talking about the election, upcoming election as well, because it's getting down to the nitty-gritty, people. November 7th is quickly approaching, and we definitely have to make a sound choice for our 100th mayor. And people, you got to wake up. You got to wake up, really, for real, because we don't need Sherelle Parker as our next mayor at all. Yes, she's a black woman. Yes, she's black. Yes, she is a woman. And there's so many women in the city of Philadelphia that are standing behind her because she's a woman. So you got black women and white women and other nationalities as well. And then you have black people in general that want to see a black woman. And y'all should not look at the color of her skin, okay? Because she does not need to be mayor. She's not suitable. She does not care about the constituents of Philadelphia. All she cares about is her pockets, and she cares about fame and, you know, being seen. And she doesn't do a damn thing, everybody. So I just hope y'all do not vote for that woman, okay? You need to vote for David O. because he's the best choice. He's the one that's going to make a difference in this city. He's done a lot of great things while he was on city council. And y'all need to go check out the interview that I did with him a couple weeks ago. And look at it. Look at the stuff that he said during the primary as well. And he is the one that we need to be putting in office. Get out of, oh, well, he's a Republican, so what? Okay, Sherelle's a Democrat, and she's not going to do a darn thing but make things worse in this city because of what she stands for, and she stands for not anything that is of integrity. Okay, she's brought by the Democratic Party, brought by Bob Brady. She will be his puppet to do what he wants to do in this city, and we can't allow that to happen, Philadelphia. So y'all better wake the heck up. All right, Wanda, I'm out, y'all. Thank you so much for giving me this space, and I will see y'all Sunday.
The Drum Major Instinct.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all back.
knowledge, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual.
The Jacksons, Martin Luther King Jr., and that remix is so powerful to what we're talking about right now. Let freedom ring. That's it. That's all of it. Let's celebrate Wanda Walker tonight on her fifth WBNN All-Time Connection record. This week has been wonderful. You know, four championships. We honor Darlene Lawrence. And Excelsior, period, on the championship round. Thank you, Wanda Walker, for our outstanding show tonight. Tomorrow night, we're off. We're back with News Forum with the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J. The 2022. Overall host of the year, the Anna Waddell Award recipient of this great, outstanding network. We love her. 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time on the one and only Beverly Nation. And, of course, WBNN has advertised until it goes to time, all-time media. Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and X. And of course, all of Dudley Malay will go to your Facebook. Any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? Oh, late day, late. That goes to myangema.com. I am. And Father's Pay Producer, Dr. Ola Dudley Malay, when goes to saying good night, good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now back to the class of 2023, the wonderful Wanda Walker.
Izzy, you're jamming. I love the tracks that you played tonight, as always. I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you. I want to say thank you to all the listeners out there. And I'm hoping that people were really listening to the facts. It's very important to give people information so that they can make an educated choice. And however you decide to vote, if at least you know the real facts, then that's your choice. But if you're just doing it because someone tells you to or that's what your grandmother did, it's a different type of political environment out here now, people. And our children's lives are literally at stake, being that we're the number one poorest big city. You heard Movida explain everything to you. And we are the number one organ donor for all of the United States. That, like, that stuff just scares me. And so I fight, and I'm an advocate and a community person for these reasons. And I know it's unusual to see a black person support someone that's not black, has gotten us in this situation. We have to look at character, not color. You know, just because someone's pretty and beautiful doesn't mean that they're going to be the best person to represent you or that they even care about your situation. And we have to care more about our communities and families so that they know they can't get away with this any longer just using the color card. And with that, I'll say goodnight. Dr. Ngozi, could you give me a minute to spell Nadira Griffin's name one more time? She's running in the fifth, and she will be a write-in. And her name thank you so much. N-A-D. E-R-A-H. So it's an A, an E, an A again. N-A-D-E-R-A-H. And then Griffin. It has to be spelled correctly. She will have people at the polls passing out her information, but it's a write-in. And show people that we can do write-ins and things, and it counts. Because a lot of times good people, because of money, because of corruption, and because of how they kick people off and challenge them, they end up not being able to be on the ballot when it's the very person you need to vote for. So write these names in of good people. Pay attention to the good people that are running. You have Jabari Jones in the third, and people just rave about him. You know, he is back on the ballot, or he withdrew, and now he's on as an independent. He deserves our support. David O. deserves our support. And it's a couple other people out there that's probably not coming to mind, but it's because I haven't seen them in a minute. Just do your research. This is truly about your community and your children's lives. And if we keep picking the same thing, we're going to keep getting the same results. Do something different. Do something strategical. Take 5 minutes to not care about Will and Jada and care more about your community and who's going to be in control of it. And I thank you for tonight. I'm honored, and I appreciate this opportunity. Good night, all.
Shed our eyes west, chase the sunset, in the wine on my breath, and you got your hand on my hand, lips to my ear, whisper, switch to fifth gear, I'll blow a La Cosa Nostra in a Testarossa, pull me closer, baby, don't let go, get away from where we came from, where we'll end up, I don't know, we got the whole world ahead and the whole world behind, nothing in the rear view but wasted time. But don't turn around. Your kiss excites me, kiss indicts me. Time to leave this godforsaken town. Ready, set, go, out the ghetto. Black tuxedo, black stiletto. Please ignore the wanted posters. The weight of guilt might slow us down. We got the whole world ahead and the whole world behind. Nothing in the rear view but wasted time. Still my heart around me, so I won't tell. If I feel your kisses, baby, pay my bell. We got the whole world. On our trail, would you follow me over the edge, darling? Pay no mind to the sound of the sirens and caution signs. Let's run for our lives. I'd rather be running and run out of time. Over the head in the whole world.